This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Well, dear listeners, we are back for another episode of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod, the absolute creme de la creme of Dreamcast-focused audio productions. Something must have gone terribly awry at the Junkyard HQ, though, because you are stuck with me, Loz, in the hosting chair today. So if you enjoy and lots of awkward transitions between agenda items, then you are in luck, my friend. This episode is going to be entirely dedicated to the pleasures of playing the Dreamcast online. For those of you who aren't aware, this isn't only a matter of historical interest. Oh no, right now, in the year 2023, there are about two dozen Dreamcast games with functioning online multiplayer modes, and a magnificent global community of people who are regularly playing them. It's a particularly exciting period for the Dreamcast Online too, as more games are likely to be brought back online in the near future, thanks to the work of some very talented people in the Dreamcast scene. And in fact, a brand new Dreamcast game with online multiplayer is due to be released next month. Driving Strikers, a four-player car football game, has recently been made available for pre-order from the Norwich-based Wave Game Studios. Of course, we'll include a link to that in the show notes, along with some directions as to where you should go if you'd like to get your Dreamcast online. And hopefully, if me and the guests do our jobs right today, then we will thoroughly whet your appetites to be playing the Dreamcast online. There certainly aren't the number of players that you'll find online with other lesser consoles. However, rest assured that that is more than made up for in terms of the quality. All right, that's the public service announcement out of the way. Let's move on to introducing our special guests. Three specials. First up is Harvey Jones, who also goes by the pseudonym Pizza Hotline.
Hello. Hello. How's it going? Yeah, you can call me Harvey or Pizza Hotline, whichever. I don't mind. It's easier if you call me Harvey, I guess. I make music under the name Pizza Hotline is why I use that name sometimes. But yeah, I'm just a keen Dreamcast Online player, also a keen fan of the Junkyard, and it's my first time here. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. We are delighted to have you on the pod. And I think I should mention as well that you are the maestro who produced the remix outro for the pod that we've been using the last few episodes.
Yeah, that was loads of fun. It's awesome to hear that, like, whenever, because I used to skip, no offense, but I used to skip the last outro just because it was the same as the intro. And I listen to it and have a bit of a, you know, a bit of a pat on the back when I listen to that. I am not ashamed to admit that.
Yeah, well, we got to keep you sweet because we might need to use your skills moving forward, you know. Yeah, so great to have Harvey on the pod. Our second guest also needs to be shown due respect, as he is the undisputed world champion of Monaco Racing Simulation. That's right. Holston, it's great to have you on the pod.
Pretty much retired from Monaco, but yeah, I managed to get good at one point.
Yeah, only after you took all my records back, after I got on the leaderboards, and then you wiped the leaderboards with your name and then retired.
I had them deleted since. you can go back. But yeah, I'm just a random guy from Germany who likes to play Dreamcast Online, pretty much.
That's good. That's a nice, sweet summary there.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Brilliant. Okay, well, welcome to the pod, Holston. And before I forget, in addition to our special guests, we also have this bloke, James Harvey. who some listeners may already be well accustomed to, mainly due to Spirit of Speed rants and the like. How do you, James?
I was just waiting for the longest intro to a podcast ever to finish, mate, to be honest, for you to get around to introducing us all.
Well, you know, it's my first time hosting. I didn't want to cheap out.
You're doing a good job. You got this.
Brilliant, brilliant. Given that evidently James would like us to move on, I'll take that cue and we'll move on to the next section. It's been a bit of a tradition that's been established that we normally ask a fun, quirky question. I think it was Andrew that first introduced that. But I'm actually going to keep a very, very tight ship today and we'll be staying laser focused on our topic, which is the Dreamcast Online. So what I want to know is, when did you first play the Dreamcast Online? And what compelled you to give it a go? What are your memories of that period? And James, we'd like to hear your dulcet tones first, please, on this.
Dulcet tones, eh? That might be the first someone's ever... Is it a compliment? Complimented me that way. I'm afraid my story is going to be probably similar to most people's first ever online Dreamcast experience. We had a PC in the house, but it was by no means a gaming PC back in the day, so never used to game on PC, but always... was sort of fascinated by the thought of playing online. And then obviously getting a Dreamcast, that was the one big kind of thing that was coming that was really exciting. And like many people, I signed up on Dream Arena pretty much straight away as soon as it was you were able to from launch, and waited patiently for my free copy of Choo Choo Rocket to arrive, a story I've told many times on the pod before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was my first ever online experience, was playing Choo Choo Rocket till the wee hours of the morning, one game after another, which was pretty much the theme until Toy Racer came out, to be honest. But yeah, it was, as I said, not particularly original, because I'm sure many people's first Dreamcast experience online was with Choo Choo. But yeah, that was me. And I should say as well, it was my first ever online game in general. I'd never played online before before that point. So it's quite a special nostalgic moment for me in general, because from that point onwards, really, online gaming became, you know, my first go-to in any game that I bought sort of beyond that point. And obviously Xbox Live followed quickly after.
Mm-hmm. And it was quite evidently it was quite a long wait then, because you got your Dreamcast quite soon after release,
yeah,
I believe.
Just after launch. My birthday's in November, uh-huh. And I had to wait to save up my birthday money from saving up my pocket money rather all the way up through, and then my birthday sort of bonanza just tipped it over the edge. So I was about a month out from launch. And yeah, it was, even so, it was great to be able to have the internet in my room, to be honest, because again, family PC in the office, kind of in the family office. And you know, now all of a sudden I can be browsing into the late night, sending emails and going on Dreamcast chat rooms and whatever, which was really good. Didn't have a keyboard at the time, so that was always fun, trying to use the virtual keyboard. Yeah, I did eventually invest in one, but it was kind of you know, spending 20 quid on a keyboard back then was like, well, that's half of a game that I could be buying instead. So yes, I suffered long enough till I got one.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, James. So Holston, you're up next. When did you first get online with the Dreamcast, and what compelled you to give it a go?
Well, I pretty much got broadband internet very late in like 2006. And then 2 years later, I was 18. I finally managed to get a job, make money, get my own PC, and I was able to watch a lot of stuff on the internet. Got really into retro gaming, and then I started collecting Dreamcast and other stuff. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I found out the Dreamcast could still be played online with there were like four games. And then I looked into it, how to do it. The old PC/DC version was definitely not something I would have been able to pull off. But then I managed to get my hand on a BBA after looking for a very long time. And I think it took me almost like, after I had it, it took me almost a year to finally manage to connect to Phantasy Star Online.
And what kind of year was this, roughly?
It was like 2012.
Okay, 2012. So it's you didn't have a DreamPi at that point, just the BBA?
No, DreamPi didn't exist.
Yeah.
Back then, there was only you could go online with real dial-up, which was not an option for me. The old PCDC server, which used a Windows 98 computer and another 56K modem, which was also not an option.
Hardcore.
It's very hardcore.
And a BBA. And I went out to search for a BBA. I found one after a long time. And then I had to figure out how to configure, how to figure the system to get online, to connect to the Silverwind server.
Right, right. There's kind of these different periods. And obviously, James was saying about, you know, I'm sure there's tons of people who have the same experience as James playing on the official servers when the Dreamcast first came out. But then there's kind of these people who, who got into the Dreamcast later on. And if you do it now, of course, there's, you know, there's all these lovely YouTube videos telling you what to do and loads of games online. You can get the DreamPi. But yeah, that period was a little bit more iffy.
I think I played for like half a day trying to figure out the game, and all of a sudden the Dreamcast starting doing the GD-ROM noises, and then suddenly a player appeared on my screen. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then finally the first player I've seen in my life on a Dreamcast online. That was amazing.
Hardly anyone around in those days. Yeah.
Yeah, back then getting a full four-player group, that was not common.
Oof. And I think that leads on nicely, actually, to Harvey, because I suspect that you're joined the Dreamcast online scene even a little bit later than that.
Yeah, a lot later, actually. I think I was 8 years old when the Dreamcast came out. So I didn't, I was hitting two wooden blocks together, probably. But I completely dodged the Dreamcast when I was a kid. I've always been into video games, but I just never even saw one. And I bought one off Facebook Marketplace in 2020 and for a tenner, and it had a hole in the front of it, like a big hole. And both the eject and power buttons had been ripped out. And I bought it off some dodgy guy in East London. And I took it home, and then I just decided to fix it, and then got really into physically into it and obsessed with modding it. And then I realized, you know, I heard that, I think I listened to a DreamPod episode with Kazade, him talking about the DreamPi. And I thought to myself, God, that's so technical. That's way too technical for me. And then as time went on, I kind of became a bit more comfortable with the idea. And then I realized that it actually is not that difficult. And I had a Raspberry Pi knocking around. I flashed it, and I made my voltage line inducer. That I needed a bit of help with that. And then I managed to get online. And when I first got online with PSO, it blew my mind. Totally blew my mind. So that was in 2020. And then I played throughout the pandemic, like feverishly on PSO, because it was the only game that would work for me at the time. I couldn't play. I really wanted to play. I could see everyone else playing all these amazing games, and all I could play was PSO, which, you know, it's a good game to play. But and then I moved house and the story changed. But we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Yeah. It's really interesting to hear how there's this kind of diversity here. And I didn't even, you know, it's not something that I arranged. It's just kind of happened to fall into place that we've got folks who remember playing way back in the day.
The golden age, the dark age.
Yeah. Exactly. You can almost write a history book about
2012 definitely sounds like the dark ages.
Yeah, it was.
2000 must have been amazing. You know, James, you're talking about, you know, playing Choo Choo Rocket all night. Was it just, you know, you just open a game and it would fill up immediately?
Yeah, from memory. I mean, obviously, I mean, I was like 15 back then, so there's probably some rose-tinted goggles a little bit looking back at it now. But it was... I certainly don't ever remember waiting for rooms. I mean, I don't think there were particularly lots of necessarily like hundreds of people online, but I think in the like three or four lobbies that were always open, it didn't take long for rooms to fill up. But I think I can probably remember playing Toy Racer more online, because that was just kind of my jam. I played Toy Racer like as if it was a AAA release, the amount of hours I put into that game. And that I can remember always being busy. Like if someone would drop out of the room, there'd be someone else in it almost instantly. And that was really my kind of just one more go game back in the day. But yeah, it was, I guess I never knew any different, because I didn't come from the PC gaming world with GameSpy and all the, you know, the huge kind of infrastructure that was going on there. It was, that's what online gaming was to me. So I guess it felt probably a lot busier than it actually was because it was just completely new to me, you know.
I first got into playing the Dreamcast online in, I think it would have been about 2005. I got a Dreamcast secondhand, totally missed it, just like Harvey, you know, the kind of first time around. I had a PlayStation at the time and that was my world. And as kind of nerdy teenager later on, I remember discovering the Dreamcast and I just got obsessed with the idea of playing it online. And at that point, you could still just plug in. I played it on real dial-up, so just plugged it into the wall. And the PSO service was still online in Europe at that time. And so you could just log on, and it was, it was amazing to me, but you'd log on and there were still a few people kicking around. It was at that time, soon after that, it soon got a lot more difficult because, you know, the official servers, the ones that were remaining, started to go down. And then if you wanted to connect to unofficial servers, you had to do, it was just a madness. Like, I remember getting code breaker codes and putting them in to kind of direct you towards someone's private server, things like that.
It just makes you appreciate like the current state with DreamPi, especially where, you know, literally every game works out of the box and it's just, you know, dial up as you would have done back in the day and you're connected and everything. And it does, when you talk about the early kind of unofficial Dreamcast online scene, it's amazing how far it's come to the point where it's, you know, it's as easy to get online with the Dreamcast as it is to go online with your Xbox or your PlayStation these days, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's still some barriers to entry, but they're much lower.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone who plays online is, most of us anyway, are very friendly. And, you know, if you've got issues, if you do run into issues, you can just ask for advice. Nine times out of 10, you can get things sorted. So, so anyway, there's no excuse, in other words. And if you're listening to this and you've got a Dreamcast, you should plug it up and, come and challenge me for a few laps of something. All right. I think that's enough ice breaking for now. And we'll move on to the main part of this episode, which I am calling the Dreamcast Online Games Draft. So basically what this section is going to be is our expert panel that we've gathered together here today are going to identify the best games, the worst games, and the games whose online revival you should be yearning the most. And of course, given our exquisite taste and masses of brain capacity, our choices should be taken as definitive. However, if listeners would like to contribute your thoughts, then your comments are always welcome. So first up is the category of best online Dreamcast game. And it's pretty simple, really. Each of the guests is going to nominate a title that they think is worthy of that moniker. The only hang-up, potentially, is that we're going to have to go in some kind of order. And your choice may already... You may get gazumped by someone else, but I'm hoping that you've got a second choice in the back pocket. So first up, how about Holsten? You tell us which game you think is best for the Dreamcast Online.
Well, I think the best game, the best experience playing online right now on the Dreamcast would be Quake 3 Arena with Mechanic and the rest of the Frag Knight crew on Fridays. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it for over 2 years and I'm always looking forward to it, despite all its shortcomings compared to the PC version.
Right. So that's kind of hard evidence there, I suppose. If you've been playing it every Friday for 2 years, then there must be something good about it.
It's a classic. It's a great game, great community.
Yeah, maybe you should explain to people what Frag Knight is to you and to, you know... Because we know what it is, but maybe the listeners might want to know exactly what you're referring to when you say Frag Knight.
Every Friday, 8 p.m. EST, Mechanic sets up his Quake server. Some of them are modded, some of them are basic. And we get a bunch of guys together, hanging out in voice chat, having a good time.
Mechanic may or may not have had a few beers by then, I'd imagine, as well. Knowing Mechanic.
Very likely, yes. It's not a Fragnite without beer, that's for
yeah.
sure.
I think Quake is a great choice. It was the game, I think, that really kickstarted the Dreamcast's online life back in the day. You know, it was the first real big, look, we can do what PC can do kind of moment as far as online gaming is concerned. And, you know, as you said, Holston, despite its shortcomings compared to PC, I mean, probably the most glaring one is obviously only having four players can play together. But it runs so well on Dreamcast. But just don't turn up to Fragnite unless you've got a keyboard and mouse. Otherwise,
no, actually, I wouldn't say that.
You reckon?
That's not true. We have several very good players without mouse and keyboard.
Mr. Video,
like Mr. Video.
I take it back. Take it back.
even I have started to use a controller a lot more to not discourage all the new players who are joining up recently.
Yeah. Okay, I take it back.
So it's more of a leveling of the playing field, is it? It's just being fair.
It's a little bit being fair. It's also more fun if you have closer games.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are actually a bunch of regular players. I would assume like Totas shows up very often. He seems to play on a controller, tagged, I think, from what it looks like at least.
Mm.
We even have one guy who's playing on his emulator on a phone without controller at all, and he is pretty good.
I have played with him, and he is good. He is actually quite good.
I don't even know how he does it. When I use an emulator, I at least use a controller with that.
You know, you got to give respect to someone for that, for how difficult it must be. But I don't know why.
Like
a million things you could do on your phone. Like for me, it's you know, I'd want to be playing it on my Dreamcast.
I mean, if I'm not at home, I'm also playing on the phone. But at least I'm bringing a Bluetooth controller with me because the touchscreen is not work out for
me. I think it's the novelty, you know, like you could connect from a PC and join, you know, obviously, and it would be a better frame rate, infinitely moddable, but there's something really quite charming about booting up. I play it whenever I've played the Quake Fragnites, and they are every Friday night. Unbelievable. I've only been to maybe four or five, but these guys play it every Friday. It's incredible. There's something quite, I don't know the word to use, maybe grounding about using a keyboard and mouse with an old console. It's just quite fun and interesting. And like for me, the novelty hasn't worn off yet.
It's taking when you do play with the Dreamcast mouse, taking your old school trackball out to clean it every once in a while, which really takes me back to late 90s PC use. You know?
Yeah, we line them all up and we say, clean your balls, boys. Let me see your balls, let's clean them.
Do you know, it's a really good point though as well, I think, talking about Dreamcast Online in general. And I find it really fascinating. As someone who was sort of, you know, heavily involved in Dreamcast Online gaming when it was contemporary, the draw to me to go back to it and what keeps me going back to it now is that there's still that nostalgia light that comes on. And every time I sort of see that dialing connection, it takes me back to 16-year-old me in my bedroom, you know, waiting to play a game. And that's my reason for coming back. And I find it amazing that there are people, you know, such as you know, some of the people on this podcast today who didn't necessarily experience it back in the day, but still have that kind of, like you said, that charm about going back and playing on retro hardware. I think it's it's really interesting to see how people go back to, or why people just, you know, choose to play on Dreamcast Online instead of, as you say, playing these games elsewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely a whole host of different motivations. I mean, I don't have the nostalgia, but I think I gave it a go, and the people that you play with, because it's such a small group of people, you get to know everyone, and you just like hanging out with them, and you know, and so it just kind of becomes its own thing quite quickly. But Quake 3, yeah, is a great choice. It would definitely be a lot of people's choice, especially Mechanic. I mean, if you didn't pick PSO first, of course.
Mechanic's quite a big, or used to be quite a big Monaco fan as well. I don't know if he still is, but yeah, I think he'd have a tough choice to make.
Indeed, yeah, I was surprised it wasn't Monaco, Monaco Holston.
Nobody likes to play with me anymore.
You are top of the leaderboard, Holston.
Yeah, I mean that just took time. That's not hard to do. You just need to have time.
Are you still on the leaderboard, James?
I don't think so. I did have a few. I'll caveat it by saying I didn't have them all. I had a few times, and then I don't think I've got any now.
I mean, one of the main reasons I did it was pretty much to piss off Mechanic a little bit, because he always said, I'm never going to do it. But it took me like 1.5 years, and I did it. So that's a good motivation.
Ironically, Mech has still got the Germany track records, which you need to go in and do.
We'll get Mechanic on to an episode later. He can set the record straight. Okay, so we have Quake 3, which I think I have no qualms with having that as one of the best Dreamcast games online. Harvey, how about you, mate? What would you like to bring to the table?
So I did want to choose Phantasy Star Online, but I'm not going to choose that because I feel like it's quite obvious and it's, you know, it's the easiest one to connect to and, you know, everyone's first kind of foot in the door. But the one I'm going to go with, the one that I have probably had the most fun with, it's been really interesting. And, you know, it's a bit like Quake in the sense you can get it anywhere else better. But I really quite like playing on the Dreamcast with everyone is Worms World Party.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's so much fun and I love Worms. Obviously everyone loves Worms and it's just a timeless, you know, a timeless format. And I love the way it's two dimensional. It's not 3D. It doesn't matter, you know, cause there was this fussiness with 2D, 3D and it's just good, solid gameplay. And that feeling of really wanting to nail someone after they've, you know, or really dying to wipe someone's team out. I always lose. And I still enjoy it.
No, no, no. You don't come in here and claim the mantle of worst Worms player because you've seen me play on PC Wizard Stream before. And that is my thing to hold on to.
That's the most fun. If everybody sucks at Worms, then it's the most fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I play Worms online on a Friday, I will blow myself up in some spectacular way, and it's never intentional. Never intentional. I've just every time I forget what button does what and what I've got to hold down and how long I've got to hold it down for.
The controls are a bit gnarly, aren't they? It's like two buttons for jump, and then you can do there's three types of jump, like, and you can do a backflip, and it's just
because obviously when we play on a Friday, I don't know if you're the same. Normally, I have PC stream up whilst we're playing.
Yeah, of course.
Talking on there, and I'm watching PC, and the way he moves around the board is just like, I don't get how he's just so effortless.
It's like watching ballet.
I know, it really is.
He is good.
It really is.
He is really, really good. And you know, like when you're in a match, when it's on live on YouTube, and you can see there's like, you know, 10, 11 people playing. It's such a rush. It's so exciting. I just love what that guy does. You know, he's a real pillar for the, you know, online community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm running out of choices here, lads, because all of my games get picked. But Worms World Party, Christ. I mean, I just put here a case study in the effectiveness of simplicity. I mean, it's just, as you say, it's like, it's just Worms. And Worms is great. And I don't think it even added that much. Worms World Party, I think it's pretty much Worms Armageddon, just with the online mode.
Yeah, but, pretty much.
Yeah, it's strange that. You would have thought there'd be more differences, you know, different cover art, different name.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think just the addition of the online mode is sufficient. And it's just such a great game. I mean, that the turn-based mechanics as well of it mean that you kind of have that, you have that time to kind of have a breather in between moves, which is good for me because I don't.
And on that note as well, I think, you know, talking about experience today in 2023, you know, it's the perfect Friday night chill out game where we're kind of, yes, it's great to play online on Dreamcast, but I think from a social perspective, because as we've been saying, PC will have the stream up, we'll all be chatting in the stream, and it's just because you've got that time in between moves, you know, it's just a nice opportunity to catch up with the community and, you know, talk about things going on whilst trying to murder each other in a less frantic way than Quake. So, yeah.
I mean, it tends to be pretty popular when Holsten helps run the Sega Online Discord as well. And I think whenever Worms World Party comes up in there, it tends to be a pretty popular choice, doesn't it, Holsten?
Yeah, pretty much. And everybody who joins is terrible at it, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, so Worms World Party, I don't have any qualms about that being included as a best Dreamcast online game. Not at all.
Apart from maybe that it was going to be your choice.
Apart from that, yeah. Actually, you know what? You know, let's get down to reality. I think they did miss a trick not allowing you to chat in-game. That's the one negative for that title.
And that probably wouldn't have been too hard to implement, would it? I don't know much about game design, but...
You can't even keyboard chat, can you? I mean, there's no microphone support and you can't even keyboard chat.
You can't keyboard chat.
Which is weird.
Very strange. But do you know what? Like, I've never had too much trouble with Worms connecting to it, but I know some people really, really struggle, and people tend to say that the web code or something. I don't know what I'm... is really, really poor with Worms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know Shu found a load of potential issues with it, because we had one instance once where we were in a lobby and we managed to get 5 people in a lobby once. And obviously when we launched it, it obviously crashed, but it was kind of, that was the thing, 5 player Worms for one night only sort of deal.
Yeah. So for those who are listening who might not be as au fait with Dreamcast Online, basically there are some games. It is, on the whole, it's a very easy thing to do, but there are some games that tend to be a bit more finicky than others. And Worms is notorious for being one of those. So basically, if you're going to play it, you probably want to do some tests first to check that you're running, because the issue is that if it won't work for you and you try and join a game with 3 other people, it has this great feature where it crashes everyone's game.
It's to do with your port forwarding or your DMZ settings, I think.
So, DMZ.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But when it runs, it's hard to beat Worms Walk Party. Mm. All right, I think I'll go last here. I'll allow James the third choice.
I just need to think what you're going to pick now, just so I can pick another one away from you. Do you know, it is a really difficult question to answer this, because I think, you know, there's such a good variety of games available to play online on Dreamcast, and each of them, I think, offers something very different, or for the most part, to each other. And I think, you know, unlike a Call of Duty or something where you just kind of play it solidly for 2 or 3 months, the thing about how most of us play Dreamcast online is kind of dipping in and out of different games all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle. I agree with what Harvey said around, you know, Phantasy Star Online, if you're just arguably talking about the best experience and the most seamless experience, and probably what feels like the most modern experience of playing online. There's no second to that. We mentioned Monaco Grand Prix Online, which is one of my personal favorites. Netcode isn't the best on it, but you know, it's a 6-player racing game online, so again, you can't really knock that. Got to say a shout out to Mobile Suit Gundam, just being phenomenal game that kind of most of us didn't get a chance to play, being a Japanese-only release. But having mentioned half the library, I think my overall choice is going to be a bit of a left-field one, but it's Maximum Pool.
Yes.
Ooh, that's very good.
What a choice.
For us kind of PAL users, it was a game that, again, most of us wouldn't be particularly familiar with, being I think it was US only. I don't think it came out in Japan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, such a great... I mean, you've got to take some points off for using Comic Sans or whatever the hell they use font-wise on the main menu. But it's just... It's a great online experience. You've got normal pool, 9-ball, 8-ball, but then you've got all these different weird and crazy shaped tables. You've got bombs. You've got all sorts of stuff. I find the sound effects really satisfying. Like, if you're playing with some of the games that have got money stakes on it, and when you pot a ball in a certain pocket, you get like the jingling of change sort of thing that comes up, little things like that. But yeah, great experience, really good fun to play, supports 4 people, so you can do kind of 4 people in one game, one after the other, and yeah, loads and loads of different modes, and another one of those kind of really good chill out games, I think, that you can just play and enjoy socializing with the community. So for all those reasons, and it pains me not to select half a dozen, if not more, games in this list, I'm going to go with Maximum Pool.
That's a great choice. And you know what? Maximum Pool seems to work quite well. I haven't had many problems with it. So it seems to be quite successful with the connection. And it's something about the music is so Twin Peaksy.
Yeah.
So stylish, isn't it? Apart from, you know, the Comic Sans, we'll ignore that for now. But it's really stylish otherwise. And I don't know. I remember like certain nights playing with you, Lars, we were like, oh, what should we play? And we always just go, Maximum Pool? Yeah, let's play some Maximum Pool. I was just playing for hours just chatting. And, you know, another game where I like often lose, but still really enjoy playing it. It's so good.
Never gets boring.
And there's text chat you can type. And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I've got a bit of a soft spot for pool games anyway. Like, I always used to love playing Virtual Pool on the PC, Virtual Pool 2, and always loved pool games. And I think because of the style of Maximum Pool, it's kind of the top-down view. It's aged really well, so you can play it now, and it doesn't feel like an old game either. And yeah, it's just a good time. That's what the best compliment I can give it.
It's another one of the choices, Dan. I'm going to be left here. I wholly agree. It's the connoisseur's choice, I think, because, it's not obvious.
Very purist of you, James. Very purist.
Thank you. I think everyone's just shocked I didn't pick a racing game, to be honest.
Great choice. Well, yeah, the cursed menus. That menu is so cursed. Like, how do you even navigate it?
That's half the fun. Yeah. Got to go into the room, press a different button to, like, switch to the other panel.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I can only imagine it. I mean, I always give the excuse that, they were new to making games online, but it's like, that's just basic menu design.
It's horrific, isn't it? Oh my god.
Yeah, but once you get past that, yeah,
solid game,
nothing revolutionary. Yeah, it's Sierra, I think, that made that game, isn't it? Yeah, they just nailed it. And as Harvey says, the kind of laid-back vibes that the game gives off are just, yeah, they're just great, and they're totally different to some of the more frantic kind of heart attack inducing games elsewhere on the Dreamcast.
If I may, Lars, before we move on, I do have an honorable mention for Toy Racer, just because of my nostalgia to it. And I think if it did have more than four tracks, I think it would be a hell of a lot more popular online now. But yeah, for what that game is, I think it's just good fun. Sorry, I had to get Toy Racer in there.
It's such a great game.
I was half expecting that.
Well, I wrote a retrospective on it on the Junkyard because it was like, you know, it's one of those games that just, it seems most people completely bypassed it because it was like a £5 game when it came out. And you know, it was, it wasn't a big release, but it just worked online, which is what it was designed to do.
Yeah, definitely check that out. That's another thing that we'll have to link to in the show notes. And what's good about doing the best games first is that now I know which games you love. I can shoot them all down when we get to the worst games. Holsten, I think you're quite the pool player, aren't you, Maximum Pool? What do you reckon about that game being nominated as one of the best?
It would have been my very close second choice. I play it almost every weekend against my all-time rival, Allbush.
Shout out, Allbush.
Shout out to Allbush. We are very kind of equal in skill. Both like to play on the expert mode with guiding lines turned off. And sometimes we even had game sessions that lasted like 5 hours without break.
Wow.
It never gets boring.
Come on then, Lars, what's yours?
Yeah, my selection is going to be, the obvious choice, which is Phantasy Star Online. And I think it's already been mentioned, it's basically the showcase for online capabilities on the Dreamcast. Technically speaking, just amazing for the year that it was released in. And I think they also really nailed the player experience side of things too. Rather than being a game with an online mode that feels like it's been tacked on later on, it just feels like the entire game has been built around this idea of playing online and just having this kind of social style of play, which is obviously helped by it being co-op. But just really pioneering game. All the features on there, like the guild card and the simple mail system, quick chat, all of that just blew my mind when I first played it. I couldn't believe that they had implemented those features so early on. So, I think the gameplay, just quickly, I will say the gameplay, I think, is a bit Marmite-y. There's lots of folks out there who probably, if you don't enjoy the kind of grinding aspect of it, then there's probably not too much in the gameplay for you. But given how pioneering it was and given how gorgeous it is today, I mean, if you play Mines in Ultimate mode, it just looks amazing. So anyway, I could carry on forever, so I'll leave it there. What do you folks think about PSO being nominated as the best Dreamcast game online? That is,
I think the fact that it was just on the note of it looking so good, I think, you know, the fact that it was pretty much ported as is to Xbox and GameCube shortly after the Dreamcast demise just kind of shows you how strong it was as a showcase, really, of this kind of like dungeon crawler type online game. I totally agree. I mean, I've it's a game I played a lot back in the day when it first came out, because it was obviously one of the later Fantasy Star Online version 2 was one of the later Dreamcast games ever released. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a way to just get some more life out of the grey box at the time. Loved it back in the day. It was unlike anything I'd ever played before. I still jump in from time to time. I know PC again runs a live stream session every Saturday, I think it is. So I've jumped in a few times with them. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Loz. I mean, if you don't like grindy things like, you know, Diablo and things like that, then you probably won't enjoy Fantasy Star Online. But it's just such a fantastic showpiece of what the Dreamcast could do from an online perspective. And I remember back in the day, actually, when it was quite busy, and it was a horrendous game for hackers who used to get in and steal all your stuff all the time. You wouldn't want to spend too long in the online lobbies, but the lobbies were amazing in the main ship, where you could go in and there was like a big football pitch.
Oh, it's so
and
fun,
a huge
that.
Football. And back in the day, you'd get like, you know, dozens of people on that, in that area sort of thing. Just, you spend like an hour just knocking the football around. It's just, just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously, I then turned into a big Destiny player back in when Destiny came out, and I think a big part of that was kind of the Fantasy Star Online nostalgia that I had, and kind of that same grind mechanic, grind for better gear, and you know, doing stuff over and over, harder difficulty and stuff. And it's definitely a game that holds up well today. And I think, you know, unlike a lot of the other Dreamcast games online, that as we've been saying, you play them online because it's, you know, there's some nostalgia or there's some charm in playing an old console online now. I think PSO is genuinely, you know, a game that you can't really get that exact same experience elsewhere, that is still great fun to play now, especially if you're in a good party.
Yeah, it's so good looking and it sounds amazing. The music's really, really wonderful. And what's interesting about it is that the community, the PSO community is huge, because they play on, then there's only certain ones, isn't it? It's like PC and DC, so computer and Dreamcast, and then Xbox and GameCube, is that right? And they play together, and there's a huge the server's called Silverant, isn't it? And the Discord's massive on there. People play constantly all the time. It's really cool.
It's funny because it almost kind of dwarfs the Dreamcast online scene. It's like there are lots of people who play their Dreamcast online, but they basically just play PSO.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There's so many people who just play PSO.
Yeah.
Right. I think we'd best crack on, and we're going to now move from reality into the lovely world of daydreaming. So, instead of talking about games that are online now, what we're going to do is have a think about the games that could come online in the future and which ones we most anticipate to see that happening for. So, Holsten, what do you reckon? What are you most looking forward to coming back online down a couple of years down the line?
Well, as a big Quake 3 fan, I would love to see Quake World online on the Dreamcast. I would be exciting for that.
I thought Shu was really close with getting that working for a while, and then it just kind of, I don't know if his priorities went on to other things, but I'm sure he had a version running, didn't he, for a while?
I saw that somewhere.
I don't know. I heard that for 2 years I'm hearing that, but nobody really knows what's going on.
And for those of us, the uninitiated, could you explain what Quake World is?
That's a good question. As far as I know, is it the first Quake in just online for then the Dreamcast? I don't know. It's more Quake as far as I know, and that's always a good thing. More Quake with more players.
I see. So it's like a mod.
Yeah, it's based on the original source code, I think, isn't it? And it just basically, it's a modified version of the original Quake, but obviously focused on online with God knows what maps and whatever else mods that they've put into it.
Is it an official mod or is it totally fan-made?
I don't think it's official, but they did release the source code, didn't they? I believe. I could be completely wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure they released the source code.
Is there a community that play on another platform that play Quake World?
I think it was... Yeah, I think there's a PC. It's not my scene, so I'm only going off passing, but I'm pretty sure that it's PC as well, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Okay, interesting. So a kind of left-field answer, I suppose, because it's not an official release, but that's another kind of indie game.
I mean, it's listed as work in progress. I have some hope. And more Quake on the Dreamcast is always a good thing.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, you showed me up there, Holsten, because I actually had no idea what that was. So it's something for me to investigate.
I've been hearing about it for some long time. Nobody really knows what the status is right now, but I have some hope.
Yeah, I suppose if it's been teased for a long time and it's just more Quake, then that's the kind of great combo for you, for your taste.
More Quake with more players. Can't go wrong.
Well, yeah, on Dreamcastlive.net, it says 8 players and supports the BBA and is a work in progress, but I presume it's been a work in progress for a while. But that's pretty cool. I didn't even know that existed, Holsten. Nice one.
Well, we're all learning something new today. right, so Harvey, and this, confused me to this day a little bit when I saw that we've got James Harvey and Harvey Jones. I mean, I know it's a second name and a first name, but when I first saw you two online somewhere, I thought you were the same person.
It's a little close, isn't it?
It was probably in, because on my, if I'm in the chat room in PC stream, it'll just be my full name. It'll just be James Harvey on there, and then you've got Harvey Jones underneath. So it was probably. Yeah.
And you're just trying to steal my lap times, aren't you?
So the real Harvey, Harvey Jones, how about you? What are you most looking forward to?
There's a game that I love so much, but this game, it saddens me because as an offline experience, it's just very, very vanilla, very boring. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it's like as an online experience, but I feel that if it was online, it would be so, so, so good. And I'd play it all the time. And that game is Outrigger.
Ooh, good choice.
Outrigger is a first-person shooter on the Dreamcast developed by Sega. I think it was Yu Suzuki. Did he have something to do with it?
I think he may have. Was it AM2?
Yeah, was it? I think he was the executive producer. Anyway, it's like a super fun, really, really fast-paced, close-quarters shooter. And it's gorgeous. It looks really, really, it's a really good looking game. Not many people talk about it because, as I said, as an offline experience, it's quite shallow. I'm sure it would really shine in like an online experience. You can use a keyboard and mouse. You can use a controller. The controller's not too bad, to be honest with you, for a first person shooter. They did quite a good, they kind of got around it quite well with the controls, but it's best played with the keyboard and mouse. I just think it's great. It runs really fast and it works with the BBA. And I am currently trying to play through the entire arcade mode, which I'm really enjoying. It reminds me a bit of Counter-Strike. It's a completely different game in terms of the style. Outrigger's a lot more wild and wacky and unrealistic, but like they have a similar feeling, and I feel like it would just be a fantastic addition to the online library.
That was another PAL game that got the online modes lynched from it as well, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
It happened quite a lot towards the end. While the online was on, I mean, you know, Daytona was the same, and that was a bit earlier on, and that didn't have online either over here.
I think, well, it's because they're just mean. They're really mean. and they don't like us.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true pal.
It is odd because I thought, yeah, maybe it was because the PAL releases tended to be later anyway. And so by then it would have been even more obvious that the Dreamcast was going to be going in the bin. And so maybe that was why. But then again, who knows? Who can really believe that? Because Sega are just strange and go and release like Monaco online. And I think Monaco came out later. The online version came out later than Outrigger and Daytona and stuff.
Only in PAL as well.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, so it's just very messy in that respect. But I that's definitely one of the titles that I'm anticipating the most, Harvey, because I think basically Quake is probably objectively the better arena first-person shooter, but I associate it more with the PC in my mind, whereas Outrigger just screams Sega.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely got the Sega feel
it's
to it.
It's fruity and fast and just wacky and like, yeah, it's really, really Sega.
It's very arcadey.
Yes, and obviously it was built for the hardware, so that's why it runs so great. And how many players is it? Is it four?
Four.
Four. Okay. It'd be better if it was eight, but I mean those arenas are quite small, so maybe four is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Four player split screen is a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, I've done that.
Holsten, I heard you grumbling a little bit in the background there. Was that grumbles of agreement or disagreement? Or?
No, I would kind of disagree that the Outrigger has good controls on the controller. I couldn't find, you have to choose what a configuration, a pre-made mm-hmm. one, and I couldn't find any good one for the Dreamcast controller.
I see.
Yeah, I think I was being quite charitable. It's really, really annoying that you can't map buttons to do certain things. Like in Quake, you can map anything. It's amazing.
Even when you use mouse and keyboard, it's not WASD to move. It's something else.
It's ESDF. It's so stupid. It's like one key to the right. It's like, well, how could they have done that? What's wrong with them?
Yeah, and you cannot change it.
But yeah, you're right. And you know, when you get used to it, it's okay. But it is just a silly, silly thing that the controls are just ever so slightly not quite right. Could that be done with a mod? I don't know much about modding Dreamcast games, but is that something that could be done with a mod?
I mean, why not? You know, maybe we just need to set someone to it. Ian Michael, maybe? Are you listening? Get on with that. I need to learn the names of some of the modders in the scene because I'm just asking Michael to do everything all the time. What I'm going to do this time is, given that James on the last round decided to just name about half a dozen games and completely gazump me, I am going to have him go last this time. So
there's no way you'd pick mine anyway, but go on.
I think the most anticipated game for me, aside from Outrigger, which was my first choice, is a title called 100 Swords.
Mm.
And what that is a Smilebit produced RTS game. And Smilebit, I believe, were just just one of Sega's development teams. It's kind of your standard RTS game in some respects, in that, you know, you're commanding an army and you go around a battlefield fighting others, but it's got these like really quite intense storytelling aspects, and it just kind of feels like the RPGs of the time, like Final Fantasy and the like, in terms of its aesthetics and its storytelling, but it's an RTS game. And I mean, it's a bit janky. It's certainly not objectively the best RTS game out there, but I think for the Dreamcast, it could just offer something very different to what we currently have. There's basically nothing else like it in the current online library. And in fact, it's kind of a genre that we didn't get hardly anything like that on the Dreamcast. I mean, I think we got Conflict Zone, but that was absolute dross. Awful, awful game. Mm-hmm. Whereas 100 Swords is at least, it is at least a decent game and has some really nice artwork and the like. So I think that's what I'm going to put forward. Any thoughts on 100 Swords?
Interesting choice. I've never even heard of this game.
I thought it was a fighting game, according to the names. So a weapons-based fighting game, I assumed it was.
Yeah.
Like something you find on the Neo Geo or something.
So have you played it much offline, Loz?
Sadly, there's never been an English translation for the Dreamcast. Mm. But an English version was released on PC back in the day. And I remember playing it on PC. You used to be able to pick it up in like those like £3 for £10 PC game offers. And I just saw Sega on there and thought, yeah, I'll get that. And it's a decent game, and it's just something that you don't really think of when you think of the Dreamcast. I think it could just add some nice diversity to our current online library.
Nice choice.
James, you've been very quiet there in the background. How about we hear what you are looking forward to most?
I'm just narrowing my list down, to be honest. Just put it into four different categories. And no, just to keep up with awkwardness, then again, you know, much like my first answer, there are a number of games that I'm looking forward to coming back online, and just strictly keeping to the ones that are quote unquote work in progress, which at least means that some progress has been made in bringing them back on. Because as we all know, even though something's not in progress at the moment, by tomorrow it could be online, given how these things work with the releases we've had in the past. I've got to mention Daytona just because, and I would say I'm not a huge fan of Daytona USA on Dreamcast. I don't think the handling is particularly great, but the opportunity to play that online just makes it infinitely better. So that is definitely one of them. And similarly, from a racing perspective, Speed Devils Online, which I know is a big sort of demand or much demanded game from the Dreamcast community to come back online. I think that would be a fantastic game to be able to play back online as well, from a racing perspective. But the choice that I'm going to make is one that I was led to believe last time I spoke to Shu was actually relatively, and I use the term very loosely, relatively close to being back online, but I know there's been some significant progress in it. And it is the Japanese release of Netto D Tennis.
Oh, it is. It works.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure PC showed some online footage of it at some point. But from an online perspective, it ticks all the boxes. It looks awesome. It's a simple game that you can play online. I don't think lag or anything like that, you know, is going to be too much of an issue. And if you watch any gameplay footage of it from on YouTube or whatever, if you enjoyed things like Smash Court Tennis back in the day on PlayStation, it's got that sort of same graphical style to it, and I just think that could be mega fun online, just being able to rock up, play some tennis, you know, do a few games and then and call it a night. So for two reasons then: one, because it sounds like it's relatively good progress has been made on it, and second, well, three choices I guess: secondly, because it looks like a really good game, and thirdly, because it's another one of those Japanese releases that I think would have passed most of us by, given that it never saw the light of day outside of Japan. So much like Gundam, I think it would be, you know, a big breathe of complete fresh sort of perspective on online gaming on Dreamcast. So yeah, Netto D Tennis is my choice.
Great choice.
There we are. Well, if Shu ever needed some motivation to get that one up and running, he now has it.
Do it for me, Shu. Do it for me, Shu.
Yeah, so there was some, yeah, that footage that I guess you watched, James, that PC Wizard posted to his, what we called the people who support him, the Dreamcast.
The members thing, yeah.
Yeah, and I put a comment saying like, whoa, it's working. And he commented saying something like, yeah, it's all working fine. But that was a long time ago. That was like...
It was a long time, because I think it shares the same online infrastructure as like the Street Fighter games and stuff as well, from memory.
It's Capcom. Yeah.
Not too long ago, I've seen Sega RPG Fan asking some people around if they wanted to test that game
because it's
pretty much with a few bugs. It's actually kind of working as long as you don't click on anything once you're online.
Yeah.
On certain things.
So that's probably, it's probably just the fine tuning of it, as you say, making sure all the dead links are doing something. And I think I would guess that the idea is to release all the Capcom stuff in one go, like when we had the sports games all came out in one go, because they all share the same the same netcode and stuff. So maybe that'll be what it is, and we'll get them all as a big bang release, which would be lovely.
Oh, while you're there, I'd like to quickly slip in Heavy Metal Geomatrix. That is an interesting looking game that I've not really played. Yeah. That's Capcom, isn't it? And I guess if they do come out at the same time, that'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm really keen for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, Loz, it would be remiss of us not to mention the upcoming Driving Strikers as well. You know, we can't talk over this podcast talking of online gaming without mentioning Driving Strikers and the first indie game to support online play, and knowing the amazing work that Luke and co do from a community perspective with Simulant. And I know he was going to try and make the online code available as well, so hopefully it'll open the door to future online indie games as well. So I think most of us, if not all of us, have played the demos online. Everything works really well.
Follow him on follow Kazade on Patreon, and he puts a lot of updates, and the demo that I've played is quite old now, and I'm pretty optimistic, like reading his updates over the past few months, I'm quite optimistic about the final release's performance.
There's been so many iterations. That's what's good about these games that are getting developed, because I think HarleyQuest are doing it as well. They, you know, it's very transparent, you get demos, but I think the progress has been really pretty substantial, especially with like the controls, because I remember the controls being a little bit unwieldy. But yeah, they're a lot more intuitive now.
I think the graphics and everything and the menus, everything's going to look a lot tighter and a lot more, pro. So yeah. And on that, you can grab the hard copy. You can pre-order the hard copy now at Wave Game Studios for £20 instead of 30, which it will be on form release, which is a bargain. So
got my pre-order in already.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So if you want to support it, go and grab that.
Yeah, but definitely check that out. And I think that can be in a category all of its own, because it's not coming back online, but
true.
It's just coming online.
Yeah.
Just coming online. So it can be all on its own. Right. So I think we'll now move on to the section of the draft that you may love to do this, or you may hate to do it, but I'm going to ask you to nominate your worst online Dreamcast games. I know over here in the UK, we're all very fond of having a good old moan sometimes, Holsten. so I don't know if you're the same in Germany, but around these parts, yeah, we love to have a good old moan, normally about the weather, but today it'll be about bad online Dreamcast games. So I think first up, I will give the honors this time to James. So, James, can you pick a bad online Dreamcast game?
I can. There's a really, really easy standout for me, which is probably controversial for a number of people who I know love this game, but I've never got on with it. I've always had a really horribly laggy experience every time I played it, and that game is Ugga Bugger. I don't know if it was the lag that ruined it for me, but I think because I always played it with like PC and people who were in a different continent, it was I just always had a really, really bad experience, and I don't think the gameplay is that fun. I will give it some bonus points for the mode where you're basically trying to play football on rhinos or whatever it's called.
That makes the game worth it.
Yeah, that was good fun, but everything else just feels really flat and boring to me. And as I said, coupled with the laggy experience, that's easily my least favorite Dreamcast game online. Ugga Bugger.
I like that pronunciation as well.
Ugga Bugger.
Ugga Bugger. I've never played it. I'm after that roaring review.
Well, I would say don't take my word for it, because lots of people, including PC, love that game.
When it's good, it's really good.
Yeah.
How often is it good?
yeah, that's the thing.
I think most people, there seems to be a consensus that when you play that game, everyone just wants to get four people together to play Boar Polo.
Yeah,
that's the most fun.
That does redeem it slightly.
We had some great games. Some of them almost smooth.
And I think therein lies the part that's the issue. Yeah, the lag on that game sometimes.
I see.
US only. I don't know, as I said, if the lag is purely down to playing across countries, as I said, yeah, which obviously was never the intention.
I'm not sure. We played with TOTAs from South America, two Germans, one from the UK, lost, and TOTAs from South America, and it was almost very good running. Not every time. We also had very bad games. But
I will say, you know, lag doesn't on its own ruin a game. I mean, you look at Mobile Suit Gundam, and that's a pretty laggy game for the most part, but I don't think that really detracts too much from the gameplay. You just learn to kind of play it.
Gundam is actually runs mostly better than Ooga Booga, at least when I played it.
Yeah, Ooga Booga is definitely the worst experience from a lag perspective. And as I said, I just don't find the gameplay rewarding enough to stick to it.
Well, there we are. Very sorry to Ooga Booga fans out there. You know, we'll give you James's address and you can send him some hate mail.
Please don't get enough hate mail for my Spirit of Speed championing.
I'm so looking forward to reading that spread. Is it 10 pages?
10 pages, baby.
My copy hasn't arrived yet. I'm hoping. I'm just every day. I'm just waiting.
Well, it'll be worth the wait.
But I'm really looking forward to it.
So you're looking forward to that, Harvey. But what Dreamcast game do you not look forward to playing online?
Okay, so I haven't actually played everything, but the one that just I booted up, had a couple of games with Mixion, a guy who's quite active on the Sega Online Discord. And I just, I just hated it. You know, the other games like Worms, I lose, I have a great time. You know, there's other games where I don't need to win to enjoy them. Uh-huh. This game, I've just lost. It's anyway, there's two really big racing heads in the room. So I apologize, but this game is Pod Speed Zone. I just can't get on with it.
I was going to pick that as one of my dozens of favorite online games.
I was afraid of that.
I was going to pick it too as my worst game.
Oh, your really? Worst game? Okay. Controversial.
Yeah, me three.
I've only had one or two goes on it and I just couldn't get on with it. I felt a bit lonely. How many people can play at once? I played with only one other person.
Four.
I think because of the size of the tracks and the fact that there's so many different routes through the tracks, I think the lonely thing, definitely, you don't get close races on it for the most part because, like you said, you end up just going off in your own direction. I do totally agree with that. I just think it plays really well and the style of it is just awesome.
Yeah, the menu's really interesting. And this, the kind of the era that it's trying to cover is, well, not era, the setting is quite interesting.
All right, come on, Holsten. Yeah. Holsten's got to come in here and speak some sense.
Hold him back.
No, I can't hold it back. I mean, Pod is so ugly. Come on, guys.
Yeah, it is. But ugly.
It's all brown and green and so much weird stuff on the track. Oh, come on.
Not that I want to defend Pod, but isn't Quake quite brain?
True.
Yeah, but he likes that game.
Well, I Pod was going to be one of my selections, and I think it's mainly because, aside from I'm not a fan of the design, aesthetically speaking, but that point about feeling lonely playing it, like even when you're playing a four player game, I don't feel like I'm racing anyone because you're just so spread out. And I think they missed a trick there. Like, I think it had some real potential, but I just never find it all that exciting. And I don't find myself wanting to go back to it. So, that was going to be one of my selections. But yes, we'll move on to another awful online Dreamcast game, or at least in someone's opinion. So, Holsten, do you want to tell us about a Dreamcast game that you don't like playing online?
Well, Pod is already taken.
Uh-huh.
Next in my line would be Toy Racer.
Ooh. Oh, this will be good. Okay.
Right. Ooh, very unpopular opinion. I don't know. There's just nothing to it for me.
I'm the first to admit, look, it's very much the nostalgia goggles for me. And as I said earlier, I think if it had like four more tracks, it would be a lot more enjoyable.
That would make a huge difference. But
yeah,
very first time, I hated it. The more I played, okay, yeah, it's not that bad. I started liking Port more than Toy Racer, but that has changed over the years now. The more I play Port, the more I dislike it. And Toy Racer ranked up a little bit.
Yeah. It's
but
just
yeah, there's really not much to it. And
no. And I think it was ultimately, you know, back in the day again, it was like it's literally just they've taken the Toy Commander engine, built four racetracks out of it, and it's online only. There's no single player other than like Time Trial. It was literally released as a budget thing, presumably just to kind of give Europeans something else to play online.
I think it wasn't it for charity?
It was, yeah. It was it was like £5, and I think £1 of that went to charity at the time.
Yeah, that's always the argument when you start talking shit about a Toy Racer, but that doesn't make it a great game or even a good game.
I can, as I said, I think it's one of those games, if you don't have any sort of affection to it, it's once you've played it once, you've pretty much seen everything the game has to offer.
I quite enjoy it, but it, you know, when you boot it up and there's like no music and it's quite dry with just those user interface sounds, it is quite, you know, similar to Pod, quite lonely. But I guess, you know, what you said, James, about the tracks being too big in Pod, in Toy Racer they're a bit smaller and you can kind of see everyone else going around. So I quite like that, and I do like the weapons on it, and I do quite like the way some of the cars handle as well on Toy Racer. And I do really like Toy Racer, but I can understand, you know, people who don't like it.
I'm getting bored after like 10 minutes very quickly.
Yeah, it's definitely not an all-nighter game.
Yes, agreed. Where do I stand on Toy Racer? I don't think I could possibly call it one of the worst, mainly because it's one of our PAL exclusives and we've got to stand up for the team, you know? But also it's quite fun. And I think, yeah, compared to Pod, it is very different. It does some things right that I think Pod doesn't do, such as the weapons in Toy Racer are actually really, they're useful and they actually feel like they're making a difference to the race. So, yeah, I enjoy it. My choice for worst online game on the Dreamcast is the next Tetris. I don't really have to say much as to why that's one of the worst. I think there's just not a lot there.
It's so vanilla.
It's just Tetris.
But Tetris is great. I
like
Tetris.
It's
awesome.
Such a great, you know, I don't need to tell, you know, convince people that Tetris is great. It's a great game. But why is the Dreamcast one just so boring? Yeah. I was really looking forward to playing online.
No, it's not boring. I had the same feeling the first time I played. I gave it another real chance, and then it started to grow on me really quickly, and I really like it now.
Okay.
Did you like it because you were winning, Holsten?
No. That's the thing. The game balances you out, so you don't always win.
Ooh.
If you're really good, you rank up. And if you're bad, you rank down, and then at some point you reach a level where you're even.
Okay.
It's like a true rank, isn't it? Yeah. It's funny enough, I was reading an old Dreamcast magazine the other day and it had the review of Online Tetris in there, and they gave it like 4 out of 10 or something. And
ouch.
A lot of what they were saying is what you guys have echoed. And I think, you know, that there's two ways you look at it. It's funny, every time a Tetris game gets re-released, it either gets criticized for trying to be too fancy and not sticking to the original formula of Tetris, or it gets criticized for sticking to the original formula of Tetris and not having enough features. I'm on the fence with this one. I see both sides. I think, you know, it's Tetris at the end of the day. It's good fun to play.
Still fun.
Yeah, it's you know, it's something different online for Dreamcast. They didn't mess with the formula of Tetris in it.
It's a little bit different from the Tetris I played before, but once you know what you're into it, it's actually a really fun game.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely give it another chance then.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, Loz, basically.
The first time I played, my matches last like 20 seconds. Okay, this is really bad. This is lame. But once I ranked up a little bit, it got much, much better.
So maybe we rename this instead of the worst online Dreamcast games that can be renamed. Dreamcast games that might be bad, but that deserve another go.
I would recommend to you to give it another shot.
We'll give it a go.
I mean, it's worth it just looking at DreamcastLive.net now, and this one of the screenshots is me beating PC. So ultimately, you know, what more could you need to say about it? It's a good game in my books.
Another one that's interesting is Sega Tetris, and that has online but it's not, it's not work in progress. But that's, I really, really like that game. I've played that offline quite a lot, and I quite like that one.
That's got the monkey on the cover, right?
Yeah, I think it wins the prize, like, for my favorite Dreamcast cover. It looks so cool. Such a cool looking game.
I still think Tetris on a Sega console is wrong in general, to be honest. Should be Columns Online, not Tetris Online, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's funny why they didn't make any Columns games.
I think we'd best move on from the Dreamcast Online game draft. But just to recap what we have here then. So the four best online Dreamcast games are Quake 3, Maximum Pool, Worms World Party, and Phantasy Star Online.
That's a pretty good night of online gaming, yeah, right there, isn't it?
That's pretty solid. Yeah.
Sounds good.
What more do you need? We have the four most anticipated online Dreamcast games that we are waiting to come back online are 100 Swords, Netto de Tennis, Quake World, and Out Trigger.
Nice.
As much of a consensus about those there?
I mean, I'd be happy with any of them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I'd take anything I can get.
Okay, we're not picky.
Toy Racer 2.
We're not picky. Not when it comes to anticipating games, but evidently when they land, we can be a bit more harsh, because we also have four games here that we consider to be amongst the worst, although with the caveat that they're always worth giving it another go. And those are Ooga Booga, Pod, Toy Racer, and the next Tetris. So there we have it, folks. A definitive list from our expert panel. But to close out the episode, we are going to put the guests through their paces in a very rigorous quiz. Public shaming ritual as a forfeit if they lose. But Lewis held me back on that front. He's quite a risk-averse person, which is understandable. So, James, Harvey, Holston, the format of the quiz is pretty straightforward. I'm going to ask you 10 questions pertaining to the Dreamcast Online. You'll be working as a team, so no competition here. So you can defer amongst yourselves. And come the end of the quiz, the thronging mass of DreamPod listeners are going to expect you to have gotten at least 7 out of 10 of these questions correct. I said it was straightforward, but I've got another couple of things to say here. So should you need it, you know, I'd give some mercy here. Should you need it, you can redeem one hint at any point. And you can also have the options for one of the multiple answer questions halved.
Oh, we've got this, guys. We've got this. We don't need any lifelines, I don't think.
Can we not dial a friend?
I mean, I was thinking about doing that, but we've shown ourselves to not be that, not that tech savvy when it comes to recording these things. So I'm going to avoid that.
I just hope I do a lot better on this quiz than you did on my quiz last time out, Loz. So, you know, you set the bar really low. So, you know.
I was just being, you know, I just thought I didn't want to make things too hard for everyone else, really. That's what I was doing, because I'm very generous like that.
If it helps, I was listening to that. I couldn't get it either. What was the game, James? What was it again?
Revolt.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, I hit myself when you said that. I was listening to it.
Yeah, yeah. But was Mike in with me on that as well? So he takes half the shame.
Oh, and he should have known.
He should have known. Okay, so are we happy with the rules? Is it all understood?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah? Sounds good.
Right, so the first question. Driving Strikers, as we've been discussing, that's the first commercial indie release to feature online play. And it's recently been made available for pre-order by Wave Game Studios, who have teased a potential release date for the game. Can you tell me what that date is?
It's July 7th, isn't it? I'm pretty sure I remember the tweet with the Sega Rally font on it.
Is it the 23rd?
I have no idea.
I've got the 7th in my head. 7th of July, I think it is.
What was yours, Holston, the 23rd?
Yeah, we're quite far out, aren't we?
Yeah.
Split the difference.
I could be completely wrong.
What was the options we've got again, last? The first hurdle?
The options are the lifelines. You have one hint that you can redeem at any point, and you have one 50-50 for the multiple choice questions.
What's the hint going to be? It's going to be July, isn't it?
I can't tell you.
I just go with one of your guys' dates.
Holston, how sure are you?
Not sure.
I'm not sure either, but I can remember seeing 7th of July.
Let's go with yours.
If you see, yeah, let's go with yours. Let's go with yours, James.
I've just got a vision of it. Okay, 7th of July.
Yeah, yeah, you're correct.
Come on. Nice.
Yes.
One mate. Point in the bank. Okay, question two. Before Driving Strikers, long before Driving Strikers, the last Dreamcast game to feature an online multiplayer mode was released in April 2002. So this is the game currently that is actually the most recent game to be released with an online multiplayer mode, and it was released in April 2002. It was a Japan exclusive game. Can you tell me what it was?
Exclusive.
It's going to be, what was that fighting game that had the PS2 like compatibility?
Not the matching service.
Was it that? I just thinking like of late releases. I know there was, because there was that advert, wasn't there, with the Dreamcast controller and the PS2 controller, and it had cross play.
What game was that?
I don't know. I'm sure it was a fighting game of some description.
So there's a load of fighting games that are called for matching service, but are those the Capcom ones?
I think it was a Capcom one. It might not even be that game. I'm just thinking PS2 online couldn't have been much before 2002, right?
Yeah, so it could be something like Street Fighter 03 for matching service, but I'm not too good on remembering like the release dates of games.
There we go, but...
Go with that.
Yeah.
Japan is not my strong point when it comes to that.
Street Fighter 03 for matching service?
Was it like a sports game or something?
It was Mobile Suit Gundam Federation versus Zeon DX.
Oh,
no way. Oh.
I didn't want to go with that one because I thought maybe
it was too obvious.
Well, there we go.
These are hard questions.
Not so cocky now, are we, James?
No.
Right. So, question three. Phantasy Star Online was, and still is really, one of the most popular online Dreamcast games. But can you tell me the year in which its official PAL and Japanese servers were switched off?
Didn't you just... You told us this earlier, didn't you? You were telling us... was it 2006?
It's going to be... Is it that late?
Well, because Loz was talking about it. He was saying...
You're talking just about the Dreamcast one, Loz, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dreamcast only. And we're talking only about the PAL and Japanese servers.
Oh, I see.
Think about it logically. Fantasy version 2 came out in 2000 and was it 1 or 2? 2001 it would have been. So it's got to be at least a year, if not two. I'd say it's either going to be, what do you want, just a year, Loz?
Just a year, yeah. We don't need the month. And do remember you've got your lifeline if you need it.
I would say 2002 or 2003 is my guess.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Well, I'm thinking 2003.
Me too.
The reason I said 6 was before was because Lars said something about... you were telling your origin story of Dreamcast Online, and you said something about the main servers being shut down. And I remember being quite surprised on how late it was.
I really don't know. I'm only guessing here, thinking once they brought it out on Xbox and GameCube, they just... Then I suppose that wouldn't have been out until... Yeah, it would have been 03, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
I am tempted to go with 2006.
Go for it. Go for it.
Because they can keep them up, just not manage them. You know, they can just keep them up. All right, 2006.
Very, very close, but no, you're wrong. It was 2007.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's mad.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I guess they just leave them up. People use them and they don't really have anyone maintaining them. It's probably what they did.
No. There was occasional blips where it would go down and it was for maintenance and then it came back on. But yeah, 2007.
Wow. That's really impressive.
Yeah. It was quite the event when it went down. Hundreds of people all online. Yeah. But Anyway, that's another story for another day.
And another wrong question.
And another wrong question. That's right. So, you know, you can only really get one more wrong without being shamed. So question four, not all games were quite as successful as Phantasy Star Online. According to Dorimaga magazine in Japan, as of the 31st of August 2001, the online game with the least sales was a game called Net Versus Chess. So Net Versus Chess, according to Dorimaga magazine, unlike PSO, was not popular and it didn't sell very well. Now, this is a multiple choice question and you need to guess how many copies it sold. A is 21,344 copies. B is 107 copies. C is 2,578 copies. And D is 4.
I think it's B or C.
I would also say B.
Yeah. Was it, what was B? 2,000?
B was 107.
Oh, okay. Maybe C.
That's probably it.
You think so?
Well, you think about something like Metropolis Street Racer, and that had ridiculously low numbers, like outside of America. I'm pretty sure that sold like single thousands, digits, thousands in Europe and Japan. And that's a big game. So ooh. I think it could be as low as the 100 and whatever it was.
All right, I'm feeling 107 after that.
Yeah.
Me too.
You are correct.
Come on.
107 copies.
Nice work.
According to Dorimaga magazine. So, I mean, I haven't cross-checked that, but yeah, that was a pretty reputable publication. And so...
there's a goldmine of Net Versus Chess copies somewhere. Indiana Jones.
There is. There's going to be some like packing boxes, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Man, imagine.
It's the new stadium events.
Cracking into that bad boy.
I've already bought them all up and just made that number up for you. Anyway, yeah, well done. So you got that correct. So question five, we'll move on to. In January 2000, a TV advert focusing on the Dreamcast's online multiplayer functionality was suspended in the UK, partially because trading standards weren't happy with Sega for being misleading. Can you tell me what the slogan of that advert was?
Up to six billion players.
Correct. There we go. Too easy.
I've never even seen a commercial for a Dreamcast. I haven't seen any adverts. I didn't even know the Dreamcast existed back then.
It was such a clever slogan as well.
It was brilliant. I mean, not that I saw it back then, but in hindsight, it's so fantastic. But Holsten, you know when you go on Dreamcast now and it says not quite 6 billion?
Yeah, now I see why, the reference. Yeah.
Have you never questioned that?
No. Like 6 billion people on the planet, maybe almost all of them should be playing Dreamcast, which makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't it in the, it's in the intro to the DreamPod, isn't it?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, you have to check it out, Holsten. I mean, you know, Robbie Williams, hair barbering, what more do you want? So that's 3 out of 5 you've got so far. We'll move on to question 6. So back when Dreamcast first came online, the internet was a quaint shadow of the monster it has become. And... that led to some things being quite funny now when you look back on them, considering what's happened since. So I'd like you to tell me which game displays the following message whilst you're dialing up. The message is as follows. When you are online, you'll be playing with people you don't know. So remember to be polite.
Choo Choo Rocket.
It is Choo Choo Rocket.
That's correct. Yeah. All right. Clearly too easy. Right. So 4 out of 6. So we'll move on to question 7 rapidly then. So question 7. There were 3 games that were cancelled for the Dreamcast, but had playable versions leaked in later years that are, all 3 of them are currently playable online. What are those 3 cancelled games?
DD Planet, Internet Game Pack, and... PBA Tour Bowling?
Yeah.
Well done.
Shall we put that forward?
You're certain of that?
I'm certain. What do you guys think?
Definitely, DD Planet, definitely IGP, and I'm not hugely familiar with PB8 or Bolin, but I believe it was unreleased because it's a steaming pile of garbage.
It was unreleased, I'm pretty sure.
Is it bad? I've never even played it. Like, I can't get online. Is it crap?
Yeah, I can't get online either.
It's probably because it is a Bethesda game, which meant it never got a day one patch. So that probably explains why it's so bad online.
But Eye on the Prize. Did it not get a day one patch because it wasn't ever released?
No, that's what I mean. It didn't release. I agree.
You're correct again. And yes. I'm sweating here. I thought these were going to be difficult.
I would have wanted to choose it for the worst games, but since I've never played it, I can't really say if it's really as bad as I think it is.
So everyone I know who's booted that game up, it doesn't work, and they blame the CDI file, which is from Dreamcast Online, the website.
I could only go online with a burnt disk instead of putting it on the GDMU. But even when I was in a lobby, I have not been able to start a game with someone.
I see. That's my problem. I always boot for a GDMU.
It's got the worst animation ever seen in a game.
Really?
All right, chaps. You're making someone very, very sad here, dunking on PBA. We can have a whole episode of dunking on PBA. We'll line that up. So we're going to move on to question number 8. And we're back to advertising. So in the UK, Sega produced a series of print ads which depicted other European nationalities challenging the reader to play online. Which of the following terms were not used to refer to us Brits? So which of the following terms was not used to refer to British people in these Sega adverts? A, milk skins. B, Britishers. C, tea guzzlers. D, roast beefs.
Christ.
Surely the milk skins? It's probably not used.
Oh, yeah, but it's a different world back then, isn't it? You couldn't use that now. It's either the first or the second one, surely. What was the first two again, Loz?
Milk skins or Britishers?
Should we use our 50-50 on this?
Yeah, I think we should definitely 50-50 that.
You want to 50-50 it? Okay, we're down to C, tea guzzlers, or D, roast beefs.
Maybe it's tea guzzlers then, because that almost sounds too...
naff.
Yeah, I got a feeling roast beefs is something that they would use back in the day.
All right.
Tea guzzlers is my choice.
Yeah, I'll go with that too.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you found me out.
So they refer it, so it was roast beefs.
Beefs. I think the French man was taunting you as roast beefs. The German man was taunting you, calling you a Britisher. And the Spanish guy was saying that you were going to go the way of the bull, milk skin, or something like that. So there we are. So that is 7 out of 8.
There you go, Holston. You can say be on a podcast with a few Britishers when you go back today now.
I'm sure he calls us worse things once the mic's off. Question number 9. Sadly, as discussed actually earlier, the PAL versions of games like OutTrigger and Unreal Tournament had their online modes cut. However, in PAL territories, we were blessed with 3 online multiplayer exclusives. What were those 3 games?
Toy Racer, Planet Ring, and
Monaco.
Monaco, yeah.
Oh, nice one. I wouldn't have any idea, but I think you guys are right.
Crushing this. 8 out of 9. And you've still got a hint left, but here we are. You live and you learn. So we'll do the last question anyway, just for fun. So question number 10. The Dreamcast came with a built-in modem, but later on in its life, a broadband adapter was made available in Japan and then in the US. What did that particular accessory retail for in the US. And you've got four options here.
Before you say them, Loz,
go on.
What do we think? So what's our gut feel around about what it would be?
I have the number 12999 in my head.
Yeah, I was thinking about $99.
Oh, 99.
Broadband okay. adapter? I think it was like probably like 50 at most.
50. Okay. Ah. Let's see what the options are then.
I know a guy who imported it extra, so I don't think he paid that much.
Okay.
Well,
maybe even less.
I like that. I like you introducing the uncertainty there, Holston. Thank you. So the answers could be A, $99.95, B, $24.95, C, $59.95, or D, $149.99.
I think it's 99.
It's either 99 or 59. Holston knows more than me. I was.
I wouldn't say I know, but that's what I feel like.
Can we have our hint?
Oh, yeah, we've got our hint. How are you going to hint us on this one,
Loz?
Yeah,
it's a bit of a tough one.
How can I hint you on this one? Well, I'll just say it wasn't B, $24.95. There you go. How about that?
Oh, how kind of you.
I'm thinking 59 then.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I think 99, but because the majority wants 59, let's go with that.
Once again, you are correct. So,
well, that's on you, Holston. Well done.
Nice one, boys. I really thought it was $100.
I mean, I said 99 before we even heard him, and then Holston talked me down from it. So,
that's right.
He drives a hard bargain.
It means that you can now, you can now take a look at how much these things are selling for and have a little cry.
I mean, I couldn't imagine it being 99 brand new when I got mine for €70 in 2011.
Yeah,
well, there
fair.
We go.
God, mine was a lot more than that.
Quite good powers of deduction.
Good quiz though, Loza. Very good.
Very good.
Well, that was good. Thank
well,
you.
Well, it was good for you. It was good.
Yeah.
For
you.
No, there were some tough questions in there, especially the Japanese stuff. They're only easy if you know the answers, you know?
Well, quite. Yeah, I appreciate you. Making me feel better about that. Thanks, James. Okay, well, it was a lot of fun. But I think that's quite enough gabbing on from us four. So we'll wrap things up. Thanks to everyone who tuned in for this episode of the Dream Pod. Be sure to visit our website at thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk. And if you are feeling generous and, you know, if you can afford it, then feel free to, maybe send a few quid to us to help cover our running costs at buymeacoffee.com/DC Junkyard. James, where can listeners track you down online if they wish to do so?
You can just find me on Twitter where I speak angrily at the various topics of the world at Agile Harvey.
There we are. Okay. And Harvey, how about you?
I guess people can look for my music if they want. Just if you go on to Google and type in Pizza Hotline, you'll probably get lots of pizza places. Which is actually where I stole the name from originally, a pizza place. But I tell you what, go to YouTube and type in Pizza Hotline. My music will probably come straight up.
There we are. Yeah. Level Select album is highly recommended if you can find it. Holston, I think you're not too keen on socials, are you? But is there anything that you'd like to plug?
I'm on Discord, Sega Online Discord, playing Dreamcast Online on Thursdays and Fridays.
There we go. That's perfect. Yeah, I was going to plug that because it's you do a great job running that Discord and keeping games coming up every week. It's good to have someone organizing things. Where can you find me? Someone needed to ask that. Where can you find me?
No, we're fine. We'll just end here.
Getting ganged up on this episode. you can find me if you search for my name or go on the Dreamcast Junkyard or something, you know. Okay, that's all for us. All from us for this episode. Keep dreaming and we will see you next time.
unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers. Please stop this disc now.